You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Did you hear that? It's on the roof, man. It's on the roof. Jordan, do you hear? Did you hear the thumping? I know. I have heard that. Tell me you hear the thumping, Jordan.
Well, there's woodpeckers often outside my house.
No. I know. It's Adrian. You know, Adrian has always been jealous of me being core with him at One of Us, and I know he is trying to get me.
I think what you're hearing is my fat fucking cat.
I hear him in the headphones. Don't tell me that wasn't real.
That's not.
I could hear. When we had the get together last week, he put a bug in my drink, and I know he is transmitting into my ears. Him and Ray. Ray, oh, sweet little darling Ray. No, you just watch. She is out to get you. Don't you tell me I'm lying.
Mindy, I am out to get you, so yes.
See, there's my proof. And I know what will get them to go away is if we do our review of Paper Spiders, the drama about the truth. That's what it's about. Everybody says I'm crazy, Jordan, but no, it's all about the truth. And if we do our review, they'll get their comeuppance. So would anyone like to go into the synopsis of a movie about the truth?
So, this follows Emily, who is just your average teenage girl, coming to age in high school. What her problem is, her mentally ill mother.
She's not mentally ill. She's just saying it as it is.
Dawn. And, well, the problem of a new next-door neighbor just causes a shitload of problems.
I feel like it should be stated recently mentally ill. It seems like they've had a pretty good life, aside from a tragic death in her past. But aside from that, her mother seems fine. Her mother played by Lily Taylor. But all of a sudden, she's like, you know what? I think our neighbor is out to get me. And then that just continues to grow until you realize, oh, it's one of these movies. This is what they meant by the shadow of mental illness.
Well, she actually had a little bit of issues earlier on in her life. They do mention that, but then the assumption is that because of the death of the husband and then because the daughter is getting ready to go away and all of these things are compounding and now she's really given into this and gone around, kind of goes over the edge. And you're right, it does happen fairly quickly in the film, but I think they give hints that there's something that's been wrong for a while.
I'm going to go ahead and say this from the get-go. This isn't really my type of movie, and I thought it was a different movie. That being said, from the films that I've seen Lily Taylor in, I think she gives maybe the best performance I've ever seen her give in this movie. Everything that has to do with her mental illness is so convincing to a point where it's like, it's uncomfortable. Every situation in this movie is uncomfortable, but she's incredible in this.
She is the reason that I signed up for this because I genuinely like her in most everything that she does. But you're right. I think for her, this is really, really top notch.
She is very powerful in this movie. And I know we just had the Academy Awards, but I feel like this could certainly be an early contender for possible awards down the line. I'll admit, I just kind of signed up for the movie because I thought, ooh, it's called Paper Spiders. That's cool. By the way, we don't get any significance on why it's called that.
Not till the very end, where it's like, oh,
get it?
That's right, the title.
But Lily Taylor is powerful, but even more incredible is Stefania Levy Owen. Boom! First take!
Woohoo!
Yes, treat please. As the daughter, she is amazing here. We get some of the traditional, you know, coming of age, you know, high school things you got to overcome. And honestly, when she starts to lose it, not in the same level as her mom, but just emotionally, really, that is so well done. And kind of exciting to see, because again, you're seeing this fresh new face, and yet you can feel like, oh, she can definitely hold her own against a powerhouse like Lily Taylor.
That was something that I really recognized too, is that everything that she does all through the movie is wonderful, but when you put the two of them in a scene together, it's almost like they've been doing this together forever. I didn't feel anything was off. I didn't feel that anything was awkward, except, of course, what it was supposed to be. But I felt like that they just clicked and meshed so well and played off of each other so well that the scenes between the two of them make this film.
I'd agree with that, too. But what I definitely don't love this movie. In fact, I think a lot of the technical elements of this movie are kind of hindering it, because for something so serious, it has moments where, for me, the score of the film sounds like score in a can. And then it has that thing where it's like, it's obvious that you're supposed to be sad here, and I am feeling sad, but the film's not confident enough to just let the scene play. They gotta bring in the sad music, and they gotta bring in the sad music from a band that's on the soundtrack. And stuff like that, and then other scenes that just seem like, this seems a little too silly for what's going on right now. I just felt like it clashed way too much with scenes like near the end. There's a big blow up where the moment that part starts, I think I said out loud, oh my fucking God, no. Like, I know what's about to happen and it's going to be terrible. And then maybe like 20 minutes before that was like a silly private investigator scene.
It is weird in regards to how to play up the mental illness, I think, because it's not something that is just full out nonstop either anger or sadness. I mean, the mother suffers from delusions. And the thing about delusions is that they're ridiculous to everybody else, but to her and to those who have them, they are absolutely serious. So it's like, you know, this isn't what she's thinking, but like, my neighbor is a lizard person who is trying to kill me through the TV. You hear that and you're like, are you listening to yourself? But to that person, that is absolute truth. And I think for those that don't quite get that, I can see that as coming across as silly and coming across as stupid. But it's like, to those that are in it, that's real. The neighbor is trying to kill her. The neighbor is putting stuff in her head and causing her pain. Like, these are absolute real things, but to everybody else around it, it's like, what is wrong with you? This is stupid, but not to her. So it's like, I could see the disconnect in regards to being on the outside versus understanding the inside.
I definitely get that. And I actually kind of liked the camera work for the most part, and I thought at least did a good job of conveying that. I do need to bring up, because I did have a problem with this movie, I fucking hate Daniel. Just, god damn it. That's the love interest. And hey, look, I get the precedent that it is factual throughout life. Teenagers are fucking stupid.
They are.
And ignore obvious signs of danger. But god damn it, I hated this the second it came up, because that does go down a typical route. And, you know, I do want to give some praise to the actor playing Daniel, Ian Nelson, who is a very convincing douche nozzle. I'm just like, god damn, fuck you, kid. Because it's also a type of character to be like, nah, you want me. No, not, but you do. No, read the goddamn sign.
Well, it goes into the trope that is so stereotypical in a lot of teen, especially teen movies, which is girls secretly like the douchebag and are just playing hard to get. And it's like, no, he's a douchebag and girls don't like douchebags. And on top of that, he's a rich douchebag, which adds a lot to like the unbelievability of that character.
A rich alcoholic douchebag.
Yes.
Let's not forget that. Dude, take the fucking hint. Oh, also, breaking into her locker to leave a gift is like, no, don't. Jesus Christ. As much as it is important to Emily's arc, and I do recognize that, I'm not an idiot. I know writing and structure. That's still my least favorite thing about this movie, because it feels jarring compared to what else is going on. Mm-hmm. But then again, I recognize teenagers are fucking stupid and don't recognize obvious warning signs.
No.
No, I'm glad you brought this up because I want to kind of go back on what I was saying. I don't mean that it's silly what's going on and how they present it with the mental illness. I think everything that they do with Lily Taylor's mental illness in this film, it's done very realistically and it's very obvious what's going on. You get it. Everything else, including her high school romance and all the drama revolving her school, I felt was so cliche.
Yes.
And so, like, Nicholas Sparks level, like, YA novel fucking bullshit, where it's like, I don't understand what this movie is doing. Like, I get it. I get that she has to have her own drama. But you're presenting something that's pretty unique. Like, I haven't seen this done in a movie in a while, like this. Like, I haven't seen a movie present mental illness so bleakly and so
vividly.
Honestly, scary. Like, yeah. Most of the scenes with Lily Taylor, knowing that this is not going on, it's scary to see her just not come to the realization of that this is all in her head. So to see that, and then to see, like, her with her crush who's, like, clearly playing her, and then drama with the prom, it's like, I very much care more so about the main plot than the subplot. Right. And I think the subplot was unnecessary. There had to have been some other way to do this.
I just want to bring up, Adrian, that you brought up the name of my personal mortal enemy, Nicholas fucking Sparks, who is the biggest hack of hacks, and that's an insult to hacks. And now I just realized, oh, wait, you're right. I thought there was a reason deep down. I was like, I want to burn this part with every flammable component I can get my hand on.
The only redeeming part with this, because of course, yes, he's a douchebag from the beginning and I can't stand him. The only place that I felt that they didn't go stereotypical was, of course, he's there because she feels like she needs to fix something. And that if she can fix anything in her life, she can fix this dude.
Yeah.
However, that's the one thing that I liked about it is that they didn't go stereotypical, where a lot of Hollywood movies with the teenagers and stuff goes, guess what? By the end of the film, she fixes him. Oh, her love fixes him. That was the only thing I appreciated about that, because you're right. Everything else up until that point was cliche, cliche, cliche with that particular relationship and that particular character.
Well, they kind of did do that with the mom, though. And that I didn't quite know how to respond to. Because I'm torn as to how I feel about this movie, because I don't know whether or not the moral of it is problematic. And it comes from the concept of, oh, all a person with mental illness needs is a little support and they will be fixed. And for some people, absolutely support them. They need it and they will get help and they will be able to manage what's going on with them and it'll be happy and hunky-dory. But for other people, that doesn't happen.
And that's totally true. I didn't feel, though, by the end of the movie that they even gave me an inkling that she was fixed necessarily. I was still left with an unease that this could go either way at any time. Did you get that unease or no?
I got it that she was increasingly fixed because her daughter had given up chunks of her life in order to be with her. And that isn't necessarily the case. And it's just like, especially when she was sitting down with the person that was at the psychiatric hospital and essentially telling the daughter, you have to be the strength for both of you. And it's just like, that is a horrible responsibility to give to a child.
I definitely agree a lot with so much of what was just brought up, because I've had my own mental illness struggles that I'm very happy to be open about. I mean, I'm not ashamed, but for some people, being surrounded by nurturing support, that will help. But yeah, that line by that hospital employee is just like, you realize that is super not helpful, right? I mean, I go to therapy every week, and I don't even hear bullshit like that, ever. It really felt like it's just like, no, she kind of deserves her own fucking life. I mean, she's going to California, jealous. But yeah, that part of the main plot, that irked me a little bit, just from my experience. It's just like, no. That kind of felt like gaslighting a bit.
Yes, absolutely. In order for your mom to get better, you have to support her, period.
Yeah, I'm just like, I got my own fucking life. I got my own shit going on. So maybe not? I mean, it's a very delicate, very complicated situation.
Absolutely.
It always is. And how significant it is going to vary from family to family and case by case. But overall, just insinuating that because family, I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ. No, stop that. Everything has a limit.
Exactly.
I want to say I didn't quite get that reaction, and I don't know. Maybe I interpreted that scene differently, but I think it also kind of speaks to how this film kind of continuously shoots itself in the foot with its writing. That's a prime example right there where it's like, you have some really quality materials in this, and yet there's something about it that just feels so amateurish. Where it's like, yeah, at the end of the day, what really is the message with this movie? I was even wondering, because I lost the email with the press notes and everything like that. So part of me was even thinking, like, is this based on a true story? I mean, obviously there are cases like this, but like, is this based on someone specific, the writer or something like that? And I was thinking at the end of the movie, there was going to be like a, you know, this is based on such and such. But there was nothing like that to the point where it's like, I'm not really sure what you guys are trying to convey here, but I still definitely give it points for the performances.
How about we get into final thoughts? Ray, you haven't spoken in a while. What do you think?
I'm with Adrian on this one. This is not an easy movie to watch because of the subject matter and also because it does have some shortcomings within it. You get these great performances, and then you get a couple of things that are handled by the filmmakers themselves that seem amateur. That being said, I think if you want to watch a film that has got two lead performances that are just knocking it out of the park when they're together in scenes, and you're really interested in watching actors work, this is a good film for you to watch. I also think that if you have any interest at all in, you know, looking at a situation, I understand, like we've said, that mental illness and what happens with those illnesses and what happens with the families is not the same for everybody. But I think that they do try to explore at least one said story of mental illness. And I think that Lily Taylor does such a great job in bringing empathy to this particular subject matter that it's worth watching just for that. So on the performances alone, I am going to give this, oh, I think it's 7.5 out of 10 college entrance essays.
What about you, Adrian?
I'm just going to kind of reiterate what I said because I do feel strongly about it. I do think Lily Taylor gives the best performance of her career in this. And it's such a shame that she gives it to a film that doesn't really deserve it. This is so back and forth in terms of quality and writing, where at the end of the day, I don't know if I could straight up recommend it as, hey, sit down and watch this movie. But if it ends up somewhere on streaming like Hulu or Amazon Prime, and you're a Lily Taylor fan, or you just want to see a great performance having to do with something very, very scary like mental illness, and the scariest type of mental illness, in my opinion, the one that kind of affects your reality and what's going on. I try to avoid movies like this because it's scary. It really is. And Lily Taylor presents that so perfectly and so realistic. It's just a shame that the rest is just a mess, really. And it's also just kind of embarrassing. Like I said, it has the score in a can, and the movie just doesn't trust its audience enough for them to think that you know what's going on in the scene. It has to push you with the sad music, and it's automatically down points for any movie that does that for me. So unfortunately, at the end of the day, I'm going to have to give this 2.5 people on the roof who probably aren't even there out of 5.
And you are a gummy failure, Jordan.
Yes, I can't fold worth a shit. I did want to go back briefly to that conversation. I get what the doctor was saying. I mean, I know that's supposed to be inspirational. Still came off as a bit gaslighting in that situation. But I will say, this is a pretty solid film. I definitely think it could have been a lot better story-wise overall with some structure, I will say. But the performances are incredible. Lily Taylor, as I said, is powerful. And Stefana Levi-Owen is a great young talent. I hope for so many bigger things for her after this. Fuck Daniel. This movie goes from light to dark in like that. Just hard left turn, as Patton Oswalt would say, into Assholeville. And I honestly found myself being like, I can recommend this, but not so much. Kind of like what Adrian said. If it's streaming, definitely do give it a shot. Should you go out of your way for this? Personally, I don't think so. So I'll give it 7 out of 10 detention slips. Because you idiots are openly drinking at prom, you morons.
Yeah, I totally agree in regards to the performances. Like, Lily Taylor and Stefania Owen, they are the core of the movie. And when they are together and they're dealing with the chaos of the mom's delusions, it really does shine. The rest of it around it, not so much. I mean, as we said, Ian Nelson does a good job. All the performances are really good, but like the storyline in regards to Melanie's school life, it comes across as cliche and teen movie. And when you combine that with mom's going crazy, it doesn't really mesh all that well. And on top of that, when it got into the more serious aspects of the treatment, I absolutely thought that the response to it was gaslighting, was just give this person love and they will be fine. And meanwhile, I'm thinking about a play I saw where one of the most profound lines in it was, it's not love to walk away. So it's like, that's not a bad thing sometimes. Sometimes you do need to walk away. And the fact that they're like, no, you're bad to think about your own life and you should carry on the responsibility of other people, that message gets out a lot, and it's mean and it's cruel. And I found that part problematic. But again, if you're just focusing on the performances, they're great. It's when you really start thinking about the story, then cracks start to appear. So I'm give it 7 out of 10 bees. It's the damn bees. I got the proof that Adrian put the thing in my drink because look at the bees.
God damn it. You need to stop watching Wicker Man all the time.
But Nick Cage.
It kind of works out with the whole paranoia thing because I'm all the way in Chicago. I don't know how I would have been able to do that to Mindy's house.
The bees!
Jesus Christ.